You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. So I've been reading the X-Men comics, Johnny Neal, since I was a little kid. Like, one of the first comic books. Tiny. And, I mean, they've been around. It was weird. Someone was saying, show the X-Men comic that was came out the day you were born. I was like, oh, that's got to be one of the super earliest ones, right? No.
Well, and, you know, the X-Men cartoon in the 90s was gigantic. Yeah. It went on forever. And it covered so many plot lines.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was... X-Men is pretty much its own universe that's pretty big.
Multiple animated shows.
Mm-hmm.
There's been that whole slew of live-action movies. The X-Men is a cultural phenomenon. And weirdly, they've never gotten as much in these things into the super oddball side of it, which definitely in the comics sometimes was a thing. Like, that book would get weird.
It's Mindscape stuff, you know? Yeah. So, sure.
When they were talking about taking this... admittedly, pretty minor character, all things considered, Legion, which is Charles Xavier, Professor X's long-lost son, who ended up becoming an alpha-powered mutant and causing possibly, you know, the apocalypse, like apparently every third person does in the X-Men world.
So he just shows up in Charles's life one day?
You're asking for details that I just don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to digress on the comic.
Right, because this show, Legion, really is just taking... bits and pieces, dribs and drabs from the original comic story. And I'm personally very grateful for that.
Me too.
Because even though this is technically a superhero show, it's technically part of the X-Men universe, that's not really its most important thing.
No, it's really beside the point.
Showrunner Noah Hawley loves the X-Men.
Sure.
There's enough nods to it, especially now in this third season where actually Charles Xavier, a young Charles Xavier, who's his father, is a major character in it. But... he wants to make a show that's about art and beauty. And
depression and psychosis.
And depression and, insanity.
And interdependency. And he
made a three-season show that's exactly as long as it needs to be, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a show that should go on for 4, 5, 6 seasons.
No, that's always the problem. Nobody ever knows when to quit.
And this is one of those ones they did.
Yeah.
Now... I'll say that I love Dan Stevens already, the lead actor who is playing David Haller / Legion here.
First saw him on Downton Abbey and just thought he was great. And then when he started showing up in movies, I was like, this is that guy? You know, like, wow.
Well, the other selling point, of course, for a lot of us for the show was, Aubrey Plaza.
Who's like... America's sweetheart.
Well, for the weirdos.
For the Addams Family fans,
yeah,
you know, like...
Exactly. It's like... Julia Roberts from the Dark Universe.
Yeah, because she's not quite goth, you know? There's something real punk about her.
Yeah,
she's, you know,
off.
Yeah, she's definitely off.
Yeah.
She's over it. She's so over it.
That's just the Aubrey Plaza is. But season 3, I was a little worried because season 2, I thought, got a little meandery. A little bit, like, kind of, like, where are we going with
okay,
this?
Okay, I liked the meandering.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the wrap it up. In the last 10 minutes with a whole gear shift. Like, it felt like those Twinkie ads, you know, like at the, like you think you're reading a Superman, one page Superman comic, and at the end it's a Twinkie ad the frame. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
I keep waiting.
Wait, I thought I was reading a comic book, but I'm reading a Twinkie ad. Like, where did this happen? This last frame.
Twinkie reference in the MCU movie. And like, seriously? You guys aren't going to throw in one fucking Twinkie in this damn thing? What is the problem? Or the apple pie, you know, it was always the apple pie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. the fried pie. But, and it's always a kid on a bike. Those things, yeah.
There was a lot of like, oh, this is beautiful and it's very well made, but I want you to get back to telling us a story. And I did like, it was funny, I had a big argument with some friends of mine who hated the standalone episodes in the second season. I thought those were the best episodes of the whole season.
Well, I think they're some of the best filmmaking in the last few years. Yeah. I'm much more... interested in those kind of stories than a big fight.
And
you know?
I like that this one uses its standalone episodes to, first off, bring back some characters that were like, oh, I hope we get to see them again. Like, that first episode with Jermaine Clement is, like,
oh, yeah.
Wonderful, where Jermaine Clement, who was, you know, trapped in astral zone ice world or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
It's hard to know exactly with Legion. It's abstract. It's Twin Peaks for superhero fans.
And you don't know at what point, because it's, you know, sometimes the scenes are moving in real time, like real Earth time. People are behaving like normal people.
Right.
And then they'll be doing something else, and you're like, I didn't even know when they shifted. But you, it's like, suddenly it's a different background, and it just all happens, you know?
But it's smart enough, and Noah Hawley's smart enough as a showrunner, to give you the clues you need to put everything together. But it's not a show you can watch and play with your cell phone at the same time.
No.
It's one of those that requires your focus, and it rewards that completely, over and over again, because it doesn't do that sort of weird switches in a way that isn't very well thought out. Like, they do it artistically every single time, where there's a reason why they chose to do it that way, not because we don't know how to tell a story, you know? But that,
well, you know, one of its strengths is that it's a network television show and not a bingeable Netflix show. You know, it's like, we have to deliver a beginning, middle, and end every episode. So in some capacity, something has to be completely presented, you know, and played out. A scenario, a character building, whatever.
But that's
nice. So it gives you something to chew on for a week.
That Jermaine Clement episode in particular, which is very much a standalone episode in some ways, but also serves a very big point in the whole arc of the series going forward. It's like, yes, this was a, you can, it felt like one of those Sandman comics.
Yeah, like a fable.
Yeah,
like
exactly. One of those, like, Fables and Reconstruction.
Well, I don't whatever. Had a big bad wolf in it.
Yeah, that was with, what's his name?
Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah, Jason Mantzoukas, who you know had to pop up at some point, because apparently it's a rule that any television show has to have Jason Mantzoukas on for at least one episode.
The guy's so versatile, and he never even changes his hair or beard. Yes. But it's like, he could be a foreigner, he could be...
I think his penis is still wind chimes, though.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Sorry, that's a little thing for you guys who like The Good Place. But, like, once they were doing this episode, this season is the time travel season, and that episode that it started with, introducing the mutant Switch, who can time travel, was, like, this wonderful sort of, like, Robert Anton Wilson conspiracy thing that was just so fun watching her go down this
path. It was so fun to not have any idea what was going on and just be in it. It felt like a little virtual reality trip, you know, like, ooh, that was a real puzzle. I loved it. I loved it. I loved her. I got just the right amount of her, and it never felt like she was a forced introduction to wrap the show up.
They,
like,
gave her a really great intro episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then along the way, you know, you just start feeling so bad for her, because she's honestly devoted to David and helping him on his mission, but it is killing her in dramatic fashion.
And there has been so much weirdness introduced that, oh, a mutant that can time travel. And I like the way they did it. You know, she drew the door. It was a hallway. It had a weird, like, Kafka-esque kind of administrative, like, time. And then those goddamn time demons. They were like Ralph Steadman Blue Meanies. Well,
as far as I could tell, they were the Blue Meanies. I mean, when you look at the freeze frames of that, I'm like, that's the Blue Meanies.
I'm just like, they gotta just be fuzzed them up a bit.
But those are the Blue Meanies.
I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that. And they just popped in. It was like, no way.
The idea, like, they're protectors of the time stream, are going to show up every once in a while when you start meddling too much. I was like, that's not new to...
No, but they were cruel, man. But they were assholes.
It was handled so uniquely, the way they did it here. I also liked the way they chose to, like, introduce Charles Xavier, who, like, I was wondering when they said this is the last season, I was like, you're not... So far has been next to no mention of his father, except for obliquely.
Right.
And I'm like, Xavier, obviously, like, maybe the cornerstone of the entire X-Men universe. Like, they've got to bring him up at some point. And I felt they managed to do it, like, once again, another episode that felt like a standalone episode. But everything in it was important to set up everything else that happened in the entire rest of the
season. And it was so beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It was, you know, you were clearly in another time on a whole different set of circumstances. His mother... Oh, my God, what a tragic figure she was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just when David sees her and he goes, Mommy? I've never called a woman Mommy in my whole life, but I still got it, you know? And, oh, my God, when they were singing Mother, At the end?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay, like, he starts singing it, and I'm like, oh, come on.
I know. Your first take was like, really?
Really? That's kind of on the nose. And then she starts singing it?
And then you start getting the chill.
What? Yeah, that was like, okay, just throw trophies at him.
It's one of those, like, kind of just have got learned to trust Noah Hawley between this and his Fargo run.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know how to tell a story on television in a truly unique way.
You said a minute ago, you said, it's clear he loves the X-Men. I'm like, it's clear he loves everything, yeah. You know? Sure. He just loves and knows how to use everything.
And I love that this whole thing is a period piece when it wants to be and mm-hmm. not otherwise. I mean, it's like... It's like the primary timeline is this weird melange of cultures and times all smashed together in this crazy beautiful way that constantly has you just scanning the screen for stuff.
Oh yeah, the clothes. What is that? Oh, all yeah. of the menswear is just exquisite.
The
on
set
this
dressing,
show.
The just like almost everything is just like wow, you thought about every detail,
corner to corner.
And it's a show that's not meant for someone who is going to go into it. Looking for, like, plot continuity. And I'm not sure if it's there or not, quite frankly, because it's very abstract.
Yeah.
If someone was to say, well, they never did this when they said they did this, I'd be like, I don't care. I understand everything that happened, and if they lost something along the way, I didn't notice.
Right.
You know, it's not that kind of show. This is right. an experience. This is like Twin Peaks. It's a you let that lay back, you let yourself let it wash over you, and you just... be in that world, and it will occasionally take you to places that will make you cry, and not because it's sad, because it's just fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
The sequence...
It is sad, though.
It can be very sad.
It's, you know, it's the kind of show where...
The stuff towards the end with Switch, where, like, she was, like, mutating into her final form, if you will,
yeah.
had me kind of tearing up
me too.
And getting emotional. I was
me
like, this is really pretty, and, like, it's sad and beautiful, and, like, yeah...
And it tied in with David and his daddy issues, you know? Yeah. It's just like, yeah, well, you know, here's another example. It's not like this guy...
Everything thematically completely yeah. tied in this season.
Yeah.
I was a little sad to see Aubrey Plaza leave the show halfway through it.
Oh, my God, what a fucking exit she yeah. made, though.
Incredible
Jesus
exit.
Christ.
And she was great for the half season of it she was in. But, man, talk about... We were talking about Mother.
Even if she wasn't in it, she never left it, you okay. know? It's like she was still there in
we're
spirit.
Talking about the Mother song, even better for me, was What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. That song, where every character alive and dead... Like, even if they're dead corpse laying there, like,
floating
their heads
in space,
up and
frozen,
singing.
Frozen,
Hamish
in
Linklater,
space.
Yeah.
And he was the first one that started singing, and I busted out laughing. I was just like, oh, this is such a nice, and then, bah! So, yeah, and then it just went on everybody. It
yeah.
was, that was just crazy.
That
was ballsy, is what that was.
That
was
me
ballsy.
I was like, oh, yes, Legion. It's for moments like this is why I'm just such a humongous fan.
I'm a sworn and true Legionnaire now.
But yeah, I also like a lot that Farouk, who was just this almost one-dimensional demon character yeah. in the beginning, they gave him a huge amount of depth. There's a sequence in the last episode where, like, later-day Farouk, modern Farouk, is talking to... For pre-possessing David and basically gives him the pair of sunglasses, say, here's everything that's happened since then. And he takes them off and just starts crying and goes, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Like to be told ahead of time every mistake you're going to make, horrible mistake, and why they're wrong. Wow, what a blessing that would be. I wish someone had done that to me when I was 18.
I feel like somebody probably did, and I just blew them off.
They had no idea. Like, I don't have any change. I don't have any spare change.
Is that's what the Hanging Man means? But I gotta say, I felt a little underwhelmed with his coming around. Like, I think, I hate to say, like, what I would do, but there was a point where it was kind of like, wouldn't it be cool if Farouk said, no, David... I didn't make you do that shit. You have no idea how fucking crazy you would have been if I wouldn't have been in there.
He kind of insinuated that in the last episode, though. He said, like, no, that dude was already pretty fucked up. You know, there's that whole, like... Where Charles, like, did you look at yourself as a father figure? He's like, no, but I did love him.
Right.
You know? And it was like, and I felt like things would have been much worse if I hadn't been there, because the impetus is supposed to be on Charles. Like, yeah, dude, you left.
Yeah, I never quite understood that either. Like, yeah. You know, come on, man. I fucking hate deadbeat dads.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, this guy, it just kind of reframes that character in every other, you know, moment for me.
It does make me kind of want to watch a spinoff that's just about what happens next with young Xavier. You know, going forward from there. I would like, if it was the same people doing it, I would totally watch the shit out.
Oh, I'd watch anything he does, though. I mean, that's, you know, he could do, you know, Farouk owns a summer camp.
Right? Sure.
I gotta say, I was, what did you think of the end?
I had mixed feelings up until the last 20 minutes or so. I was like, at first I'm like, okay, this is doing almost exactly what I would expect it to do, which is unusual for Legion.
Uh-huh.
And it certainly felt like it needed another episode or two to really sell the stuff they needed to sell to get to where they were. But I didn't think that, like, anything with the conclusion didn't feel earned ultimately. Like, I mean, all the stuff with them sort of, like, it's reverting back to a previous timeline, and they're willingly sacrificing everything that's happened up before that point, you know, up to, you know, before he was...
Their lives are going to be rewritten.
Completely different, but I thought there was enough discussion and an understanding and feeling of, like, yeah, we agree to this, for that to be okay.
Right. That's why we're here. Yeah. That's why we came back in time.
We didn't know this is the way it was going to go. Yeah.
We didn't kill baby David. We came back here, and we're going to
see
this
chose a better way.
I gotta say, though, maybe it's just my own weird psychoses. I just don't feel like you can rewrite over somebody to the point that the original wasn't there. Like, I don't believe... I think that if you had an alternate timeline that you were in and you did all kinds of shit, it's like that, you know, Picard episode where he had lived on that planet, you know.
The inner life.
Yeah, it's like that. I feel like you can't something happened to you. So, like, this notion that, okay, it's a do-over, but now the dad's going to stick around, it's like, well, how much are they going to remember?
Well, because that timeline literally just never happened.
Right.
They wouldn't remember because it never happened.
Yeah, but they lived in it.
I mean, they even said it ceased to exist.
All I know.
Of, like, their people, their later people, they disappeared because when the timeline changed, that timeline in no way, shape, or form.
I get all the physics of it, but from a psychological point of view, I just don't think that's possible.
Because the babies wouldn't remember it because it never happened to them.
But it did. But that's my personal issue with
time travel. It happened from our viewpoint, but from theirs, it didn't. There's no.
But from their adult viewpoint, it did.
But there's no adult version of them then. It goes back to them being a baby, and they'll grow up never, ever, ever having any memory of any of that stuff happening.
I think that's a cheat.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a time travel story.
I don't know. I don't think Doctor Who would do that. You know, it's like Doctor Who people kind of go...
Doctor Who breaks its own rules all the time.
Yeah, but sometimes brilliantly, you know, and it's like, you know, no, you can't undo something.
God, I can't remember
even if you back out of it, which is what they're essentially doing, is backing out of it.
There was one
they're not going to undo
it. There was one not that many seasons ago where I remember there was like, I can't remember what it was. There's one hard and fast rule they've always stuck to, and he's like, he did that whole like Bill Murray and Gus was, well, it's really more of a guideline than a rule. Just so they could make the plot go where they wanted to. I was like, God damn it.
So that was my only real reservation. But at the same time, it's like, well, they didn't, even though they say all this, you know, they could start over and be like, God, seems like I remember a chick named Sydney, you know, like.
They didn't give her a heck of a lot to do.
I was kind of disappointed in her little flashback to herself, because I was really loving that scene.
Yeah.
And then when the girl is like, and then he turned me around in the shower, and then Sydney should have been the adult and said, yeah, sometimes that's pretty cool. You know, like, that was kind of like, this guy is still the bad guy somehow or another.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, honey, you don't get to reconcile that in front of me. You know, it's like, you can't have a discussion about that without me going, you got to own that shit. You're an adult now.
I mean, she did, even though...
You make David own all kinds of shit. You need to own that.
Even though the older actress wasn't in most of it, the episode with her and Jermaine Clement was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was... She got that, but not as an older person. I'm kind of like, after that, they just kind to let her be a person who was in the background for most of it up until the last episode or so.
You know? Well, she fought.
Yeah.
And she switched places with David.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was a cool moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's much more stuff to like in this third season than to criticize, personally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to say I was dissatisfied with that final writing of the resolution at the end, but that's all. Just a little disappointed in a tiny little part of a story that couldn't possibly have a 100% satisfying ending.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's about any as minor a quip as I got.
This complicated and abstract and so beautiful is just not going to give you absolutely the perfect ending.
Right.
You know, but it was pretty damn satisfying anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that was good. I'll rewatch this whole show. I was one of the things I said. First thing I said is, well, first thing I did was I went on Amazon, saw if they've already put out all three in one box.
Right, right.
Because I'm like, I want to own that and the best possible quality because I want to watch that in like 4K, that whole series all over again.
Yeah, without a big thing in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
And shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, I want to watch it in the best possible quality because it's so vibrant and colorful and beautiful. Like, it's a show I'm going to return to. And part of the reason for that is because it's only three seasons.
Yeah.
You know, three short seasons.
And I really, to go back to the ending, I found it super refreshing that they all just kind of went, let's just work this out. You know, like,
there's got to be a better way to do that.
We don't have to kill each other.
I love that movie. Farouk is older. Farouk is confronting Charles, and Charles has got, like, you know, death bullet gun. And he's like, I have another suggestion, two bottles of beer. And they're just sitting there having a civilized conversation on the astral plane about all this. I'm like, I kind of love this.
What about David with the straitjacket? And when he pulls it off and throws
it's young Farouk.
It morphs into young Farouk. That jaw dropped me. Yeah. You know, that was, wow.
He's just so great at knowing how to translate story elements into imagery. Like, it really is quite often, like, that kind of gobsmacking, like, God damn, Noah Hawley knows what the fuck he's doing. I really hope that wherever he's going from here, and I know he has a feature film coming out soon, but I hope that if he does another show, he is doing something else, experimenting with this level of surrealism, because he's good at it.
Have you read any of his books?
No.
Because I know he's got like two novels.
Really?
Going, I need to do that. I did not realize that. I always kind of forget about it.
Yeah, he lives here in Austin.
I know.
I've never met him. I don't know anyone who knows him either.
I know. It's not like I run into people at like PTA meetings that show up with Giancarlo Esposito in their kids' homeroom class, you know? Like,
right.
But I've never heard of anybody having a Hawley moment.
By the way, he has five books.
Five?
Yeah, A Conspiracy of Tall Men, Other People's Weddings, The Punch, The Good Father, and Before the Fall, which appears to not be like all standalones, as near as I can tell. So,
man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check a couple of those out.
Did you ever, I know this is because I watch the show, I think, of Twin Peaks. I can't.
Yeah, definitely.
But have you read the Mark Frost, the two like non-Twin Peaks books that he wrote?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they're great.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. They're like totally wonderful, like historical revisionism, like conspiracy theory.
Well, that's what the Twin Peaks, that's what the dossier is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Lewis and Clark and
this is like
Benedict Arnold, yeah, and,
like,
you know,
people in the past getting together and swashbuckling some shit to fight an evil cult that has been controlling civilization since Egypt type stuff.
Are they written as novels or are they?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We're well worth your time. Well, all right. So let's go to final thoughts.
Final thought.
I don't know, man. The last time we're talking about Legion.
Jeez, do I have to, like, in one breath? Do I have to?
Yeah.
Can it be a
deep breath, Johnny.
Okay. I gotta say, if I, one of these days, if my knees give out and I have to walk with a cane, I'm taking a piece of wood and carving it into a long hammer handle. And I'm going to put a hammer on the top of it, like Aubrey Plaza, like Lenny's cane. That was one of the coolest props I've ever seen on a TV show.
Agreed.
So, given that, I am going to give this series?
No, just season three for now. You can do both.
Okay. Series, I'm going to give it 10 out of 10. Hammer canes. And season, I'm going to give it 9.5 hammer canes.
Fair.
There was just a little bit I was kind of like, I wish they would have massaged those lines a little bit.
I mean,
just a little bit. Just enough that it was kind of like, that sounded awkward.
For me, all three seasons had moments. I was like, okay, I would have done that a little differently, but who the fuck am I?
Yeah.
I was like, ultimately, the moment they did something, I didn't make you feel uncomfortable, just like, that was mildly awkward. They did something that amazed you.
Yeah.
Which is more than you can hope for almost 99% of the TV shows out there. And this is not the sort of thing that's going to be for everyone. That's great. Not every art form should be for everyone. If you're like, Legion is stupid and you're stupid for liking it, well, first off, you're an asshole. And you're also clueless if you're incapable of realizing that not all art is for every single person. Yeah. It's okay to think that, not understand why somebody likes something without being a dick about it.
Well,
I've already seen people do
that. There's more than one way to watch a show, too. Yeah. You know, like, okay, go watch Big Bang Theory, genius. But
if that's your thing, that's your whatever it is, that's fine.
And why are you in my house? But I don't honestly, even like people like you.
You're never going to grow as a person if you hold on to anger for other people liking things that you don't like at that moment of your life. How do you ever expect to change and be a different person? Anyway, off on a whole tangent.
Well, I mean, it's okay, though, that you would say that, because that's what the whole show is about. It's about recovery. It's about finding your family. It's about trying to fix things. It's about trying to be better. It's about trying to see things differently.
Right.
So I could see where you that's where your head would go about narrow-minded people.
And the upshot is, the show is for me and Johnny.
Oh, goddamn.
It's, like, aimed squarely at our interest level, and for people who like the sort of stuff that we like, this is just unforgettable television, like, masterpiece.
Shockingly so.
Yeah.
Just...
Like, I tell people I know who, like, I know would love Legion, but have never even given it the time of day because they're like, well, it's a superhero show. I don't like superhero stuff.
Yep.
And I'm like, trust me, this show is your thing. You know, people I know love super, like, stuff like Twin Peaks. You're like, no, this is not like fucking Arrow.
Right.
This is like, not that there's anything wrong with Arrow per se, for it's got its own thing, but this is very different thing. Really different thing.
This isn't a crime fighter drama.
It doesn't even feel like a superhero show.
No, it's a big metaphor.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the only way comic superhero supernatural type shows work is if they're a metaphor, you know? They've got to mean more than what they're putting on the screen.
Some make that argument for art in general. I don't 100% agree. I think some stuff is okay just to be a cigar, if you will.
Okay, you know, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
some stuff is just meant for entertainment.
Sometimes it's just for entertainment, and if it's very well done at being just entertaining, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, and some stuff also is trying so hard to be a metaphor, but isn't very good at being entertaining.
That's true.
You're like, I don't care how much you worked into your complicated metaphor, you're boring.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But
you're
this
right.
is deeply entertaining.
There's just something about it, when it hits like this did, it just kind of makes you go, oh, y'all are really needing to up your game. You know, like, everything about it is everybody needs to up their game now.
So I overall, and like I said, this is great. I'm sad it's over only because I'd like more, but I'm glad it's over because this was the right way to do it. Something like this. I'm going to give the season a 9.5 out of 10. I think it's pretty damn near perfect.
Dang.
But I'm going to give the show an altogether 8.5 out of 10 because I was disappointed with a good deal of the choices in the second season. I thought it lost its sense of momentum. On the whole, with the exception of the standalone episodes.
Except for the finale of the second season, I have to say I really dug that it lost itself, that it just kind of said, okay, well, let's just hang out with individual characters.
I mean, I still really enjoyed watching it, but the first season was so moving at a huge pace, and the second season just kind of stopped and was like, we're just going to sit in this one place. I was kind of like, I don't know. I have a feeling if I rewatched it, I'd like it more. But either way, yeah. So 8.5, or if you will, 9.5 out of 10. Really great cover art for this season. Have you seen it?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh my God. It's fucking, I would hang it on my wall in a second.
Well,
it's got that whole, who's the big six? Peter Max. It's like a Peter Max type style art. Now I'm like, oh my God, that's perfect.
Well, that's something great about FXX is they really know how to push their stuff in a, like, instead of just showing clips from a show, they create a whole campaign that's around. It's like show adjacent, you know? Yeah. Like, you get a little slideshow of what it's like where you're going, and you kind of go, oh, I'm interested, I'm interested.
I'm interested, FXX. What about that Charles Xavier spinoff show we were talking about? Just saying.